Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. The word Kapporis is a Hebrew word which refers to an old religious custom among the Jews of Eastern Europe, the ritual of the scapegoat. The ritual of Kapporis is performed in the home before the eve of Yom Kippur. A live chicken is held by its feet and turned around and around over one's head while a prayer, beginning with the words, "Let this be my scapegoat," is recited. The idea behind this ritual is that the person's sins are somehow transferred to the chicken. After the saying of the prayer, the fowl is thrown under the table as a sign that the sins have been thrust away from the person. Nowadays, while most Jews no longer observe this ritual, Kapporis is still practiced among the ultra-Orthodox of Eastern European origin. United Poultry Concerns, a nonprofit organization founded in 1990 in the United States to promote the respectful treatment of domestic fowl, has been trying to stop this practice for nearly 20 years, and in 2010 formed the Alliance to End Chickens as Kapporis with other animal rights activists. This story, Kapporis, was written by Shalom Aleichem and appears in the anthology Yiddish Stories for Young People by Itchy Goldberg. In 2003, Erica Silverman wrote a children's book called When the Chickens Went on Strike, a Rosh Hashanah Tale, which is based on this story. The Jews were not aware of it on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Their hearts were filled with thoughts of the holy season, so it didn't impress itself on their minds when they noticed groups of chickens heading toward the outskirts of the town. But if they had taken a second look, they would certainly have become worried, for it was actually a procession of all manner of fowl. There were mostly chickens in the parade, hens and roosters, some clucking in tired and hoarse voices, others striding with sure foot, their heads bobbing up and down in youthful vigor. And everywhere along the line of march could be seen young chicks chirping along. Besides their numbers, what should have attracted the attention of the people was their hurry. They seemed to rush on as if something was driving them forward. It was only later that the Jews woke up, when Rosh Hashanah was over and their thoughts turned to Yom Kippur. Only then did they notice something was wrong, when they went to get chickens for Kapporis and found the chicken coops empty. Then the Jews stood about in the marketplace staring. When the seriousness of the situation dawned on them, they broke out in cries of alarm. "Of all the horrors, where in God's name have they flown?" exclaimed one. "Did you ever? What's happened to the chickens?" asked another. "Good heavens, do you realize? Go ahead, say it. How will we perform the ceremony of Kapporis without chickens?" they were worried. A gasp went through the town. The women especially were aroused. They were ready to do anything for a white chicken, prepared even to sacrifice themselves if they could only lay their hands on something for the family's Kapporis. Women ran around the marketplaces like crazy, offering any price for a spotless hen. And if not a white one, then a speckled one, a mottled one, a black one, even a red rooster, anything, so long as they would have something for Kapporis. But there was not a bird to be had. Oh, there were fowl around, but not the kind used in the Kapporis ritual. You could still buy fat, juicy ducks, geese with lovely rounded bellies, high-hatted strutting turkeys. All these the butchers dragged out and offered for sale. But no one wanted them. For Kapporis, they needed chickens, and of these there were none, not even if you were to offer to give your life for one. Where did the fowl disappear to? On the other side of the mill, far beyond the town, there in the broad field were the runaways to be found. And what a great noise and confusion came up out of that field. Hens and roosters, old croakers and little chicks, everyone added his bit to the tumult. One could grow deaf listening to all the clucking and croaking and peeping that went on. The field was full of movement, as chickens pushed one another, squeezed into every little space, trying to get up ahead. And there in front, on an old fallen log, stood a young rooster, flapping his wings and crowing in a strong voice. "Kikiriki! Kikiriki!" the rooster called out a few times. "Listen to me, worthy people!" Things gradually quieted down in the field, and the rooster spoke up again. "I'm sure you all know the shameful custom of the householders of this town. Every year at this time, a horrible mood comes over them, these respectable people, may the plague take them. Every year they grab us, pull us from the coops one by one, tie us up and twirl us around their heads, all the while mumbling something the devil knows what from a prayer book, and then they throw us sliding under the table. And then they take us to the shochet, the ritual slaughterer, where they give us the real business. They call this kaporis. A wonderful custom, eh? An end to this custom. We shall be kaporis no more. Bawk, 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 bawk!" All the animals burst into excited cries. "No more kaporis! No more! An end to it!" "Kikiriki!" the rooster crowed out to silence them. "Remember, dear brothers and sisters, it will not be easy to stick together. They will try to divide us, and you will need great willpower to resist. They will wait until we're hungry, and they will come and lay cereal and millet before you to tempt you. And I know you from old, you greedy fowl. For a little cereal and a little millet, you'll give up a whole year's eggs." "Bawk, bawk, bawk!" they called out. "God forbid! Bawk, bawk, bawk! Not on your life, even if they give us gold." "But," the rooster continued, "you'll have to be like steel and iron. Remember that. And watch out that you don't get caught. Peck out their eyes if they come after you. Don't let them catch you, you hear? Let's all make an end of it once and for all. No more kaporis." "Bawk, bawk, bawk! No more, no more kaporis!" they all shouted. Back in the town, there was confusion and noise, too. Tumult was everywhere, and it seemed as if the whole world was rocking. Men stopped one another, hunched their shoulders, gestured helplessly with their hands. "Well, what have you got to say?" asked one. "A fine thing to happen, oh, just before Yom Kippur," answered another. "A thing like this happens only once in 1,000 years," exclaimed a third. Talk like this went on for a while among the people, but the leaders of the community had no time for talk. They wanted action, so they asked the women of the town to trap the chickens. Women were clever at such things. They would know how to entice the fowl back to their coops. Food would get the chickens back, and who knew as much about food as the women? The women were quite pleased to have the job assigned to them. They armed themselves with millet and cereal, with burlap bags and big straw baskets, and made their way to the field where the fowl gathered. When they came near the chickens, they bent over and dropped millet and cereal on the ground. "Tsip, tsip, tsip, tsip," the women called out. "Here, here, here." They used all sorts of phrases and calls to draw the chickens to them. The women waited in a crouched position for the chickens to come. Some had straw baskets ready to throw over the unsuspecting chickens, while others held their burlap bags open to stuff the entrapped ones into them. Seeing cereal and smelling millet, the hungry fowl pounced on the food and pecked away so furiously that it was all completely gone in a moment. But catch them? That they didn't permit. A few women did try to trap some of the chickens with their baskets, but the older brooders and roosters came to the rescue. They fell upon the women, flew right into their faces, pecked at their eyes, bloodied their cheeks. They attacked so fiercely that the women were barely able to run for their lives. When they came home and told their husbands what had happened, the men burst into laughter. They laughed so loud they had to hold their sides. Ha, 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 what fools! You're worse than the chickens on my life. Did you ever hear of such a thing, that a chicken should chase a human being? Ha, ha, ha! You know what, then, the women replied? If you think you're the clever ones, then you go yourselves. Go ahead, go make war on the chickens yourselves. Show us what you can do. Now, men are, after all, men, not women. There's a different kind of strength and power in the male. At least, that is what the respectable leaders of the town said as they rolled up their sleeves. They armed themselves with sticks and headed for the outskirts of town to see what was what with the chickens. When they saw the host of chickens in the field, they fell upon a plan. They quickly stole around to the other side of the field, raised their sticks high, and descended upon the fowl from the back. With assorted cries and with the waving of the sticks, they tried to shoo the chickens back toward the town. Kish, kish, they cried. Go home, kish, kish. But the kish, kish helped them like a hole in the head. The army of fowl not only stood their ground, but the hens and roosters, from old croakers to little chickens, all of them moved against the men with a rush. Some sprang up into their faces, some pecked at their feet, tore at their coats, and plucked their beards to pieces. It was a real war. Feathers filled the air like snow. And the noise, the cries of the men mingled with the crowing and clucking of the fowl, it was as if thunder were rolling over the field. True, many chickens fell dead on the battlefield, some trampled by their own brothers and sisters, others battered by the sticks. But the men also suffered casualties. From many a hand and face gushed blood. Here an eye had been pecked, there a nose had been scratched, one man's cheek had been cut open. And blood, the blood flowed from both sides. Who knows what the end would have been if the men had not finally thrown away their sticks, pulled up their long coats, and run pell-mell back to the town. It was the women's turn to laugh when they saw their beaten and bloodied menfolk come breathless into the town, their coats in shreds. "Well, why aren't you laughing now?" the women jeered. "Look at you, Mr. Big Shot." The women started to wave their arms to call people over. "Look, everybody, here come the men, the strong, all-knowing males." The whole business was too serious, however, for people to spend too much time laughing at each other. Something just had to be done. So the respectable leaders gathered at the rabbi's house for a conference. They spoke long, they muttered and mumbled, and finally came to a decision. They would send a delegation to the chickens to ask them, in a peaceful way, what they wanted. They selected for the delegation the most respected householders of the community, and, of course, the rabbis and cantors and shochetim. With a rabbi at their head, the delegation set out without sticks or weapons of any kind. "Listen to me, worthy ones," said the rabbi when they came near the chickens. "Hear what I have to say. What do you want, chickens? Tell it to me. We will listen to you seriously, and if your request is reasonable, we will grant it, God willing." From every chicken's throat came a cry in response. The din was so great that not a word could be heard. "Do you know what, chickens?" the rabbi called out to them. "From this kind of shouting, no good can come. See, our side has selected us to be their spokesman. You do the same. Choose a delegation from among you, but let them be upstanding fowls so there will be someone we can really talk with. Maybe there's a turkey among you, or some geese or ducks." "Gobble, gobble, gobble," called out the one and only turkey in their midst. He had tagged along with the chickens, and now he strutted out in front as if he were part of the whole business, and offered himself as a candidate for spokesman. "Buck, buck, buck," exclaimed an old gander, and a number of geese backed him up with more guh-guhs. He, too, was ready to be a delegate. "Quack, quack, quack," some loud crying ducks chimed in, also clamoring to be considered. But a red rooster sprang up full of fight and cried out, "Kikiriki! Listen to me, chickens," he shouted. If you want to be sold down the river for a measure of oats, then put yourselves into the hands of this pompous turkey. Go to the big-shot goose or the greedy eaters, those chatterboxes, the ducks. Remember, it's not they who are used as scapegoats. No, they have no right to interfere in this business. We are used for caporus, we chickens, and we must be the delegates. Quack, quack, quack. True, true, the chickens called out with great excitement. Then, after much pecking and shoving, they selected their delegation. Two or three red-topped roosters with good-sized beards, a couple of ordinary-looking hens, and a few young chickens. The two delegations then met, and the following discussion took place. The householder said, "Now we can talk, so speak up, chickens. What is it that you want?" "What do we want?" asked the chickens. "We don't want to be your caporus any longer. We give you our meat, our feathers, everything you want, but you are not to use us for caporus." The householders answered, "Wait a minute. We have to observe the ritual of caporus. We are Jews, after all." "What do you mean you have to?" the chickens replied. "Where is it written?" The householders answered, "What peculiar chickens you are! What does it matter to you where it's written? It's an old custom of ours from years and years ago. You don't complain that we slaughter you and boil you and eat you, so why should it bother you if we use you for a good religious purpose? You should be proud, for we say a good prayer with you." "You should enjoy pot roast as much as we care what your prayer says," was the chicken's retort. "And the prayer that the shochet makes over you, that's a good one too," added the householders. The chickens retorted, "Let him better say a prayer over thunder." "And the fact that the Jewish children start the holy fast of Yom Kippur with you, doesn't that mean anything to you?" asked the householders. "But why pick on us poor chickens?" the chickens replied. "There aren't enough lazy geese around. What about the fat ducks with their rounded bellies and the aristocrats, the turkeys, that roam around your fields and do nothing but eat and drink and smack their lips? How about them?" The householders explained, "Geese we kill for Hanukkah, and their fat we prepare for Passover. Turkeys we raise for holidays, but you we need for Kippurus. And enough of this talk anyway. We don't waste our time this way. We're important people. Rabbis, cantors, shochetim." "Shochetim," the chickens cried. "Slaughterers, bok, bok, bok. May a horrible death befall all of the shochetim of the whole world. Just hand us over a few shochetim. Come on, just hand them over to us." Then the householders exclaimed, "So that's it. You're against the customs of the people. It's come out at last. You want to overturn the world. That's what you're after. You want to overthrow the government. You'd better be careful, chickens, or we'll make it good and hot for you." The chickens retorted, "Is that so? What'll you do? Denounce us to the government? Hand in our names? Go ahead and see if we care. Bawk, bawk, bawk. Go ahead while you're still healthy. Bawk, bawk, bawk." And there arose from the chickens such a clamor that you could have heard it from miles around. The householders stepped back a little and held whispered counsel among themselves. They decided they might get further with the chickens if they made them some promise. Maybe they could get them to agree if they used one for every two people, even one for every three, so long as there would be caporus. "Quiet down, chickens, and listen," the rabbi said in a loud voice. "We don't have to stand around and talk with you. We aren't accustomed to doing that. Believe me, there are many ways we can force you to give in. But the time is short. It's almost Yom Kippur Eve, and we might be left without Kippurus. So we're ready to offer certain conditions to settle our quarrel." "Kikidiki, conditions to settle our quarrel," mimicked a white rooster, while the hens clucked along with him. "Buck, buck, buck, terms, conditions." When they quieted down, the rabbi announced the conditions the men were ready to offer. The first condition, A day before Kippuris, the chickens would be given food and drink, just as if nothing was going to happen to them. The second condition. In the time of performing Kippuris, when the prayer was being said, there would be no wild waving of the chickens. The people would not rattle off the prayer, nor would they twirl the chicken hurriedly. Now the whole thing would be done slowly and carefully. The third. As soon as Kippuris was over, the people would not chuck the chickens under the table as usual. They would gently put the chicken down and carry it to the shochet. The fourth. No longer would the chickens be bound by pairs, but singly, each one separately. For after all, not all chickens are of the same character and temperament. It could happen that two unfriendly chickens would be tied together, and they might attack each other and leave one another bloodied and wounded. That would be bad. Fifth, it is promised that the chickens will be plucked after the slaughtering, not before, as some people have done in the past. Sixth, when the shochet takes the chicken by the feet and pulls the head back, the rabbi didn't get a chance to finish. An angry young rooster interrupted him with a loud, "Cuck-a-doo-coo! What do you say to the lovely conditions they offer us?" he demanded. "Some conditions, a plague take them all." The rest of the chickens began to cluck and crow with all their might. "Bawk, bawk, bawk, bawk! An end to their conditions! Down with the householders and their conditions!" With a wild cry, all the chickens flew at the householders, and the worthy gentlemen, realizing what was in store for them, turned tail and ran to the safety of their homes. Thus ended the wonderful strike of the fowl. And from that day on, yes, they're slaughtered as before. Their feathers are plucked, they're cut up, they're boiled, they're broiled, they're roasted, they're served at the table in many shapes and forms, all as before. But they are no longer used for Kippuris. No prayer is recited over them. No more Kippuris. The custom, you understand, ceased to be a custom. It seems that there is nothing eternal in this world. Everything passes in time. Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSepharad.com. I'll leave you now with Shema Koli, the piyut or religious poem that's best known as the prelude for the evening service for Yom Kippur. The music was composed by Rav Hai Gaon in the 11th century and is common to the Portuguese and Spanish Jewish communities of Amsterdam, New York, and London. This version is from the CD Kamti Lachalel, published by Beit HaTfutzot, the Museum of the Jewish People, in Tel Aviv. See you next week. Oh.
Shabbat.